Good morning, I'm Anthony Moreno at 6:45. The Texas Attorney General is suing the federal government. Ken Paxton is asking a federal court to end the DACA program. Ryan Pompey has more.
DACA provides a pathway for citizenship for anyone brought into the country illegally by their parents. Kim Paxton, the state's attorney general, says the program created by the Obama administration was not created by Congress and therefore should be declared unconstitutional.
The Constitution guarantees the American people the right to set their own immigration policies through their representatives in Congress. The federal executive branch lacks the power to unilaterally grant unlawfully present aliens lawful presence and work authorization.
Paxton filed a seven-state coalition's lawsuit with the federal court in Brownsville. Paxton believes the DACA program will meet the same fate as DAPA, the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, which was originally blocked by a Brownsville federal judge in 2015 and later struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Ryan Poppy, Texas Public Radio News.
We now feature part two of a conversation Edmundo Resendez had with author Laura Gomez. Her new book is Manifest Destinies, The Making of the Mexican-American Race.
What was your upbringing like in Albuquerque in the time that you went to school and you graduated from there?
Well, what motivated my parents to move to Albuquerque when I was 2 years old was that my father was starting college at the University of New Mexico.
Oh, interesting.
So he was an older student with already a family, and this was in 1966, and the Chicano movement was getting started on college campuses, and my dad was a founder of UMAS, which was the United Mexican American Students Association. And so my early childhood was a lot of being around a lot of students and activists, and we'd go to rallies, and we were just kind of in that milieu of social change. And I was taught very early about the heroes of the Black civil rights movement as well as the Mexican-American civil rights movement. You know, we boycotted grapes and all of that. And as I continued in school, I went to public schools in Albuquerque, New Mexico, elementary, junior high, and high school. I realized that it was quite different from many of my classmates, right, because they didn't have that experience of having a parent who had gone to college and was politically very aware, right? And, you know, I began to sort of see that I had much in common with them, but also had sort of this different lens. For example, I grew up saying I was Chicana, right? That wasn't always the case with the other Hispanic kids that I went to school with.
They grew up being Hispanic,
right,
or
right,
by some accounts, Mexican.
Or even Spanish sometimes,
Spanish because,
and, you know? So those are the kind of things that I write about in this book, is all that variation.
Where do you see the activism of today's Latinos? You know, you have the Chicano movement,
yeah,
the Brown Pride, Brown Power. Where do you see the activism headed for you as a professor at UCLA in the Chicano, right, Chicano studies?
Well, I was talking to a student today, actually, who said that their political awakening came as a high school student in 2006 when there were all of the rallies across the country against the Sensenbrenner immigration bill. And that bill was defeated largely because of that activism. Tens of thousands of Latinos protesting. And the Dreamers movement really came out of that moment, right? So if you talk to those young people, they were politicized in that moment. And now that is a central debate that we're having in this country, right? Where are we going to go on that question? And now I think these young Latinos, immigrants themselves or the children of immigrants, they're demanding their rights. They're demanding that they be treated with respect and with human rights. And, you know, in a way, I think they're forcing us. Our country has always had these great aspirations for liberty and equality, and they're forcing us to live up to those aspirations. Every couple of generations, we go through this again, and we went through it with African Americans in the civil rights movement, but now we're in a different kind of civil rights movement where I think these young people are really holding our feet to the fire and saying, you've got to step up.
Why was it important for you to write this book, and who should read your book?
Well, I hope everybody will read it. In some ways, it's very much for that younger generation, for my son and his peers, the millennials, right? Because they don't see their history. They don't see that their own people's history reflected in their school books in junior high and high school, right? And I wanted those students to have that experience. I guest lectured recently in the introductory Chicano studies course at UCLA. And they had assigned the book, and, you know, they asked me to come and lecture. How many students do you think were in that course? 800 students, and for several years this has been the case. In the introductory course in Chicano Studies at UCLA, 800 students. And the demographics are such that Latinos are a young population, right? Much younger than African Americans and whites. Asian Americans also are a young population, and there are higher rates of birth in the Asian American and the Latino groups. And so this is going to be a young population for a long time. And so this is the future that we are likely to have. And, you know, in New Mexico, in Texas, in California, in Colorado, but also in Michigan and Illinois and Minnesota, there are Latino studies courses because there's a hunger, and this is a growing part of the college age population.
Author Laura Gomez speaking with Edmundo Resendez.